tuning in to Podcast Viewfinder. Thanks for tuning in to this week's Podcast Viewfinder. We look at the world around you, the news, movies, video games, music, TV shows, social media, and commercials to see what worldview they promote. Everything pushes a worldview, and we want to help you find your view.
There are days that define your story beyond your life, like the day they arrived. Hey everybody, I'm Chris.
I'm James.
And I'm Luke.
And now, welcome to Podcast Viewfinder, episode 79.
Man, we're getting close to 80.
I know. Backwards, that's 97.
80 is not 97 backwards.
I don't know. So
08.
That opening quote was from The Arrival, and I want to talk about that quote in a little bit. But I haven't seen that yet. Did you guys see it?
I haven't seen it. I've heard about it. I watched a preview for it.
Yeah.
So, I watched the trailer.
I would talk about worldview on this podcast, as you may know if you've listened to it before. If not, welcome. If you've never left us a review, go leave us a review, because that would be great on the iTunes store or wherever you listen to this. So we're grateful for our listeners and all that. A couple things we're going to talk about today. We will talk about the election some. We're not going to necessarily tell you our sides of it, but we're going to talk about the worldview behind it, because this definitely shapes people's worldview, and they respond to it based on their worldview. We're going to talk about, I think today we're just going to talk about, like, the significance of life, because I watched Doctor Strange this week.
Yes.
And so I want to get into that a little bit more, because you guys have seen it. Now that I've seen it, I've got more comments. So we will have spoilers for Doctor Strange, but we'll tell you that before we do
it.
You
can turn like it right off. Now.
No, I'm not going to spoil
wait,
it.
Wait, not yet.
So,
keep listening.
So what did you guys watch or listen to this week or read? Anything exciting?
Who should start first?
James.
Okay. Netflix brought out a new movie called True Memoirs of an International Assassin.
Yeah.
And so I was looking forward to it because I'm
Kevin
like, okay.
Kevin James.
I like him. He's funny. He's on King of Queens. I like him from that. Mall Cop, haven't seen, but I heard it's funny. Mall Cop 2, not so much.
Yeah, first one was okay.
But yeah. So I'm like, ooh, that came out. I don't know when, but I was like, I'll watch
it. It came
this.
Out the 11th.
And so I watched it, and I enjoyed it, and I thought it was, it had some funny moments. I wouldn't say it was, like, the best movie ever.
It's worth watching.
Yeah, I can watch it.
On the scale of comedies, like, what's your best comedy, what's your worst, and then where would you put it?
See, oh, okay.
That's tough, because it's, like, action comedy.
Oh.
Yeah. So like, I'd give it, like, maybe a 6.5, in between 6.5 and 7.5.
Yeah, it was decent.
It's no Rush Hour 2.
I give it a 7.5. Yeah, it's kind of that, it's not necessarily a buddy cop film, but that's funny. It's a funny movie.
Yeah.
The premise is he writes a book. He does all this research for this story. He writes a book, and this lady publishes it, but she changes it and makes it a nonfiction book. It says True Memoirs of an International Spy. And so he's like...
So not a spy.
Yeah, and then he gets captured. Because they like think he's a spy because he wrote this book.
When is Kevin James not going to play like a dopey character?
Oh, he was doing great at first. Like, there's all these flashback or not flashback imaginations. He imagines what he should do, and then it becomes reality. Like he does what he does in reality is totally like, wow, man, that'd be so much cooler.
But he's still
if he
like
was
a dopey guy who's like.
That's the thing
belong.
About the character. You would never suspect.
Yeah,
this guy to be an assassin.
It's like Jar Jar Binks. You should never expect
yeah,
him to
never,
be
a thought he was a great glory. Comedian.
Well, it's like I want him to be in like I want him to be like a dark character who never laughs in a movie. That's how I am.
What about that? What was that movie that he did with the where he was fighting people? Where he was like a school teacher and he had to become a boxer, so he became a MMA guy. Remember what movie that was?
I do not.
Never Back Down. Never Back Down. Yeah.
That's
with Kevin James. So
nobody must have saw it.
I didn't see it. I heard it was good though. But I think he was more of a serious character. It wasn't necessarily a comedy. So James, I want to talk about that a little bit more because I think it's going to go into our discussion about just life and what,
okay.
Like finding significance and stuff. But what was something that, what was a takeaway for you from that movie? Like, what was one of the things?
Man, that's tough. Live your life. You know, in a way it was, okay, so The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. But that one's different.
I love that movie.
Because that one's more serious, right? He's a more serious character. This is more of a dopey film. But each one tries to, like, imagine, like, oh, yeah, this is the person I want to be. But they point out, I mean, one of the guys in the film is like, stop trying to be this other guy, be you.
Yeah.
You're this person. When he says, you're not the ghost, who's the character he's trying to be.
He's the guy in your book, yeah.
Yeah, your whatever his name is, Mason, I don't even remember who he says. Actually, Mason's the character.
Sam is his name.
Like, you're Sam. And so I liked that, that they really honed in on just being yourself, stop trying to be everybody else, and it'll work out.
I like that, too. All right, Luke, what do you watch this week or read?
Well, I was going to talk about anime, but man, this anime I've watched was like crazy. It's very hard to explain. So we're going to skip that and go to music.
Just say what it was, because some people like to check
out. The Disastrous Life of Saki K. There is a dub version, and I really suggest the dub version, because this is one of those animes where you have people talking over each other. And it is very hard to read two subs, and you're like, what's going on? But the dub version, I mean, I haven't actually watched the dub version, but in my mind, it's easier, because I'm not a dub watcher. I'm a sub guy all the way.
Subs
before dubs. It's funny, because it takes, like, I recently watched an anime about an all-powerful psychic who's having troubles dealing with his, you know, powers and connecting with people. And that was sort of the worldview. How do you connect? And this one's about a guy who is all-powerful psychic who's just having troubles not being... He's just like, I just want to have a normal life. But because I'm really weird, he has pink hair. And so he had to change the whole world to think that pink hair was normal hair color. Like, he had to use his psychic powers to be like, convince everyone on the planet that pink hair was normal. And, like, because of that, people started being born with pink hair for some reason. He's like, some crazy, dumb anime reason. He's like, oh, yeah, my mind powers are too strong.
Anime reasons.
And then he's like, it's like he also has these weird antenna things, and he had to convince everyone that having weird antenna things was normal. So then people started getting, like, weird, like, head accessories and stuff. Like, he's like, I just changed the world. I'm like, I hope it's not too much. But the whole thing is about him trying to just avoid people as much as possible, because he's like, you know, with all these powers
comes great responsibility.
No, comes all these things that have been taken away from me. He's like, I've never had a surprise party because I've always known it's gonna happen. He's like, I've never been surprised in my life. I've never really experienced these emotions because I've never been surprised. I've always been the best at everything. I've never won anything where I was like, it's weird that I'm gonna win, because he's like, he knows he's gonna win. So he's like,
psychic.
He's like, this is a curse rather than a gift. And he's just trying to ignore people. But there's this one guy in the show who he can't read his mind and he can't really affect, so he never knows where he is. And he's like, I don't know why. I think it's because he's really dumb. But he has to be really dumb because I can actually tell where animals are. And those can't even think in thoughts. And it's like, this guy is great because he's like, he doesn't want to be friends with him, but the guy wants to be friends with the main character.
So the dumb guy.
The dumb guy, yeah. But he can never avoid him because he never knows where he is. He has to actually physically see him, which is tough because he's a psychic.
But got those friends.
I just thought in the beginning when it's just like, you know, you think you had all these crazy, amazing powers. You think you changed the world. He's like, but every time I changed the world, I did it for like something weird. Now people have pink hair. That's how I changed the world. He's like, it's just better to leave it be and just try to.
So he's saying, I can cause change, but I don't know that I should.
He's like, yeah, I have no idea what will happen, because the things I have changed that might not have been that great. But it's got really interesting characters. Like, one, there's this, because he can read people's minds.
Wait, is this the anime that you're not going to talk about?
Yeah, the anime I'm not going to talk about.
Okay, good.
Now I'm talking about it because the worldview has come out. Like, there's this girl who knows she's super pretty, and, like, he can read her mind, and all he hears her say about is, like, oh, I'm so great, I'm so pretty, I'm going to go talk to this guy because he's probably so lonely. And he's like, I don't want to deal with that. So he ignores her, and it drives her crazy. It's like she...
Oh, because he's talking...
Because he's ignoring the really pretty person. But he's like, I don't want to deal with someone who's that selfish. That's all they think about is how great it would be for her to talk to some loser. So he's like super fast. So at some point she's like, was he even there? And he's like, I think I caused more problems by ignoring her. Cause he's the one thing he doesn't have is like the ability to predict the future.
Oh.
So he doesn't know what he does, how it's going to affect things. But it's just, It's just dumb because it's not like he's a superhero or anything. He doesn't want to do that. There's no crazy monsters. It's just
him living his life.
Him living his life as best he can when he realized a lot has been taken away from him. He's got all this stuff, and he's like, you know, it's not even that great. But his parents, that interaction's the best, because it's like they hate each other, but because he can read their minds, he knows that they love each other, and so he's like, this is so dumb. Like, all their fights, he gets so frustrated with them, because he knows they love each other.
But they don't know they love each other.
Well, now they do, if you watch it more.
Okay.
Yeah, like, that's in the second episode.
Spoiler alert.
He connects their minds, and they find out that they love each other, and then he's like, oh, this is even worse, because now they won't stop bothering him for stuff.
Oh, because they know he's psychic now?
Well, they know he's psychic, and they're like, hey, can you move all our furniture into a different room? There was one episode that was all just them bothering him about moving the furniture, and they didn't like it. It was hilarious. It was very Japanese, though, because they have smaller houses.
Yeah.
So it's like a bigger bed.
Yeah, a small house.
Well, at the end of the episode, they're like, oh, why are we trying to make our bedroom this room? It's smaller than the room right next to it.
So they went back.
It's so... it's a great anime that I've watched a few episodes.
Well, but it is not very... about that anime.
I'm not going to tell you, but what I really will tell you about is... I'm done.
Okay.
it's good. James should watch it.
I saw so many movies this week. So
what did you watch?
I watched Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah.
It was decent.
Decent. How does it compare to the International Assassin?
International Assassin. They're completely different movies. So
yeah, but one is obviously way better than the other.
Yeah, Star Trek was much better done than...
I think it was funnier, actually.
Funnier?
Yeah, it's pretty humorous. The Doctor.
The Doctor is pretty funny. But I felt like it was too much like the plot of the first movie, where the first movie, they're like mad. There's that one guy that's like mad. He's like, oh, I'm getting revenge.
But yeah, Star Trek. What else are you going to make it about? You're either exploring or they're trying to destroy.
Man, isn't that the Star Wars? The guy was mad, so they're going to blow up some planets.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
pretty much life.
People get mad, and then that's the conflict.
Man, that's just blow stuff. I'm mad. What can I destroy?
The reason why I didn't like it is I felt like it was just like, it wasn't like a real trilogy. It was less like a new.
Yeah, when
episode?
It was when it was done, I was like, "What was that for?
What did
like,
that connect?"
Yeah, I didn't like.
I feel like it could have been a TV show instead of a
maybe movie. Maybe they're going for the TV.
Well,
show.
Well, I like movies to be if they're like in the same universe. I like them to be connected
somehow. Well, yeah. You have some of the same characters and past like events.
Star Wars, for example, you know the next one's gonna have Kylo Ren. It's gonna be like connected with the overall story.
Yeah,
Star Trek. It just felt like an episode.
Right, it's more standalone, yeah. And the characters, if you know the characters, you know why they connect and stuff, but it's not necessary to know.
I guess they've always done it that way, to be honest.
So I saw that.
To be honest.
I lie a lot.
I also saw the new Trolls movie, which...
Nobody cares.
It was fantastic. It was so good. Okay, first of all, it's got Justin Timberlake, so it has a great soundtrack. Second of all, there's a lot of surprise humor moments that, like... I wasn't expecting. The plot is very typical of a kid's movie. But this one... Okay, so this
was the secret plot.
The secret plot.
What was behind the scenes plot?
There's always something underneath the plot.
Okay, so...
What worldview did it push?
So it pushed finding happiness. Because it's like... So there's the Bergens or whatever have to eat trolls to be truly happy. And they have one day a year because they like keep them locked up in this tree... And they grow them or whatever until they're ready to eat them. And so
who does?
The Bergens. They're like ogres, pretty much.
So wait, who locks them up? Oh, you mean...
The Bergens are the bad guys.
They lock up the trolls. I thought the Bergens were locked up.
No, the Bergens lock up the trolls.
Who are the Bergens?
They're bad guys. So once a year they have Trollstice and they eat trolls and it makes them happy. And they're like...
Okay.
They're like, okay, I'm happy for... And that's the only time they can be happy. And so... It starts off with this kid about to eat a troll, and they've all escaped. And so the kid's like, he's going to be the next king. And he's like, so I'll never be happy? So I was like, oh, yeah, you know, you'll be happy if you can eat a troll. But since you can't, you'll never be happy. And then, like, and so the kid goes through life, and all the Bergens are like, well, we're not going to ever be happy. And so they're just, life is gloom, doom and gloom. So then it goes, cuts to the trolls. And they're, like, all happy all the time, except this one, Branch, played by Justin Timberlake. And so, So, like, this one girl, Poppy, she's the princess and going to become the queen someday, and she wants him to be happy, but he refuses to. And so you kind of find out why throughout the story. I don't want to spoil it
because like,
we're going to spoil a different movie.
Yeah, but so really it's just about finding happiness and what makes you happy. And they ended it. This is a spoiler, but it's just...
Everybody wins, of course.
If you couldn't figure it out because it's a kid's movie. But yeah, but it's like, hey, everybody, like the people around you make you happy. That's what, and so the, but you have the contrast because you have Branch who's always mad and sad, and you have Poppy who's always happy and peppy. And so, and she, because we quoted that last week, we quoted that line where he says, hey, when are you going to figure out that not everything's rainbow and sunshine all the time? And she's like, I know it's not, but I'd rather go through life thinking that it is more like that than not. But she kind of has to come to the realization that she can't always be like that. And he has to come to the realization that he can't always be doom and gloom.
Whoa.
And so,
Branch could totally... You can live your whole life being doom and gloom. Yeah. I do it every day.
But yeah, he realizes that it's not as much fun because he learns...
Mine is relative.
Yeah.
He learns to like Poppy and like the fun stuff. But he's still got a serious... Yeah.
Now for the new section of our podcast.
What won't Luke...
Doom and gloom.
It's the Helms. No, James is also doom and gloom.
Whatever. So, go see this movie. It's very funny. Well, I like some of my favorite characters. There's like a really weird cloud guy that he's like gives him high fives.
I feel like that's a metaphor for.
So you're saying that they had to eat trolls to be happy for one day?
Yeah, they thought
that. All of a sudden, they realized they don't.
Yeah. So at the end, because
and everybody lives happily ever after.
Yeah, because the trolls help this one girl who's looked over the scullery maid, who is a very funny character.
Like, there's a deeper worldview here.
There probably is, but what do you think it is, James?
It means everybody can live happily ever after.
Yeah.
Yeah, together. That doesn't sound right, because things aren't that happy.
No. No, but that's what we live in delusion, right? And so
not
that's
me.
Part of it.
That was James.
Yeah, because you're doom and gloom. You get the real life.
Yeah, but just because there's bad things that happen in life, there's still good things that can come out of it, and still things that can happen as a result. And well, so...
You know what I thought about? I thought about Thanksgiving.
What?
Thanksgiving is the happiest day of the year for me.
Because you eat lots of food?
It's the greatest food. I eat a bunch of stuff and then I'm done.
Selfish.
My wife made Thanksgiving food last night. It was delicious.
Oh, man.
I just realized that each year I let people grow turkeys for me. I don't know how you grow turkeys. Out of the ground or something. And then
turkey trees.
Yeah. And then turkey trees. Legitimate trees. And then for that one day, I'm happy because I get to eat turkey.
Yeah. And then he looks forward to that. How many of you... I mean, honestly, we all do that. We all look forward to that one day a year.
Thanksgiving is Christmas.
I can't wait.
Christmas
night. I can't wait
till
Christmas because I get my gifts. I can't wait till my birthday. I can only be happy on these certain days.
Yeah. And so, and she taught... The Poppy taught, and the other trolls taught the Bergens that there's other things in life that can make you happy than eating trolls.
You know, it'd been great.
But then that's all about people, right?
Yeah,
they're saying stuff doesn't make you happy.
They're saying like people make you happy, and but I know there's only Jesus that can really bring us joy. No, that's the thing because it's like okay, people can make you happy, but ultimately people are going to let you down.
Yeah,
and so
that's why you don't have. That's why you don't need people. Look at Luke.
Yeah, and so but it was good. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it. It was very funny. Good music. And
now I gotta go watch
it. A very happy message.
Was it as good as the Lego movie? Because that's the kid movie I think about.
No.
Because that had a great soundtrack.
I don't know that anything can live up to the Lego movie in my mind being hilarious.
That one was really...
The Batman movie I'm waiting. I'm excited about Lego Batman as well. Okay, so I watched that. I watched The International Spy. And then I saw Doctor Strange.
Wow,
so,
finally. It's like right, so old.
So from here, for the next like 10 minutes, we're going to have Doctor Strange spoiler cast. So starting now, if you haven't seen it, go turn this off and fast forward a few minutes. Okay. All right. So we talked about this a little bit last week, but
we didn't talk about much because you hadn't seen it.
Right, I hadn't seen it, and I said you could talk about it. Just don't.
Yeah, but we
didn't
want to talk about it.
Okay,
it's
more fun when you're involved.
All right. So I thought the overall worldview was because this played into a lot of it. Of is it okay? Do the ends justify the means? So. Because there was one guy that was very strict on the rules. You got to follow the rules, got to follow the rules, got to follow the rules. Doctor Strange is breaking all these rules, and she's like, no, you can't do this. But then, like, whatever her name was, Tilda Swinton, she freaks me out. She freaks
me out. The
ancient
one.
The ancient one, yeah. So, Tilda Swinton, she...
She's ancient because she breaks the rules.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Hey, we said spoilers. So, yeah. So at the end, you find out that she's been drawing power. So this is what I didn't get. Was she in cahoots with the bad guy?
No, she wasn't on his side, but she drew from, like, his power.
To make herself live longer.
Live longer, but also protect...
Yeah, Earth. So the reason she wanted to live longer so she could protect Earth and train others in the way.
For some reason.
And Mordo was like, that's not, we have principles. And you're breaking our principles.
So what is he like? He's like a stoic.
No. What? No. He's not the ends justify the means. He's like, if you have a principle, you don't break it. So if your principle is not to murder someone.
You don't murder
someone. You don't murder someone to save a billion people. That's it. You just don't do it.
Wait, but he was the one that convinced him to murder people, right?
What?
No, but I'm not saying that's his principle. I'm just saying if you have a principle, say murder people, you won't murder someone. Yeah. Even if it is to save billions of people. Mordo would be the guy who'd be like, we stick to that. Because the ends don't justify
because
the means.
Everything always comes around and you have to pay for it. Or
pay for
say?
The bill.
The bill always comes due.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, so at the this is like super spoiler. This is the end of the credits.
Mordo's the bad guy.
Yeah, so he goes and he's taking people's powers.
Or he's the good guy. He's like, you know what? People are too. They're abusing
he's
their powers.
He's following his principle, saying, okay, you did the wrong thing. You're doing the wrong thing. He's taking it to extremes. He's like, you're cheating the system.
Yeah, you're supposed to be paralyzed. You can't use magic to unparalyze yourself.
Yeah.
And so he goes and takes that guy's paralysis away from him.
You're breaking my principles.
He gives it back to him.
He gives his paralysis back to him.
He takes his paralysis away just to throw it back.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, here you go. So I didn't, like... I liked the movie. There were some weird things that I didn't necessarily like. Like, when they fought in the spirit world, I was like, this is weird. Because it kind of like reminded me of like a Ghostbusters fight or something. And they're like... Yeah, because they're like flying around in the spirit.
They're like the Matrix?
No, like Ghostbusters, when they punch them and they fly through a wall. And they're like going through walls and stuff. You remember the fight scene in Doctor Strange where he like leaves his body and goes and fights this other guy's spirit?
Yeah, but that's the spirit world. Yeah, you can do that in the spirit world. Physics does not apply.
It was dumb. Spirit world was dumb.
Yeah, that's why it was only for like 10 minutes.
It wasn't that much.
It was kind of
like,
weird.
Man, this is dumb.
Let's, different levels of the spirit world. It's kind of like...
I know you're talking about the glass world for a second. I was like, that's one of the best parts.
The glass world was cool.
Because it's like Inception.
Yeah.
But they're like, why'd you do this? The bad guys are stronger here because this is where we keep the bad guys.
This is where we lock them up.
This is where we...
Now, what about the cloak?
Yeah. Yeah. So, Doctor Strange has his cloak that like basically saves his life the whole movie. Like, he's not that good. Cloak saved his life.
Not the whole movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
half the movie.
Half the movie did.
Okay, but so Doctor Strange, he
was
trying.
Humorous. It reminded me of Ant Man. Kind of Ant Man humor.
I wasn't as funny as Ant Man.
No,
Ant Man's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm excited about Ant Man too.
Here's something about Doctor Strange that I really liked is that he did not sign up to be a superhero, and that's what like the first half was.
All his selfish reasons.
He's just like
he just wanted to be healed.
Yeah.
So I go back to being a doctor.
He's like, he was confronted with this thing where he's like in like a split second, he's like, are you going to protect the world or are you going to be selfish? Are you just going to go back? Because they weren't going to stop him. They're like, you can go back and use your powers to keep your hands steady.
Yeah.
Or you can use them for something greater. And he was, that was a struggle point, a point of contention for him because he's like, I didn't sign up for this. He's done. Like at one point he's like, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah.
He's like. But then things start popping off, and he has to make a decision a little bit quicker, or a little bit more. He has to think about it more when he realizes he's got a bit bigger purpose than saving people.
Right, and so...
I don't know if he qualified as purpose, though.
Well, so the beginning of the movie, he is selfish. He's all about himself, and he's all about, I'm the best at what I do, and he puts other people down, and... kind of hurts people along the process and doesn't care about them. But then he's like, he's in that injury and his hands are shaking and he can't do his surgeries anymore.
And he's still about himself. He has self-pity the whole time.
Yeah. But at the very end, he realizes, and this is where like the Christian worldview comes into it, that I think, because he basically is like, okay, the world's going to die and end. I can save it. And so he creates a time loop. So he goes and faces, what's that big guy's name? Kronos or whatever? Gormu.
Umamu or something like that. It's something dumb.
Yeah, so he's like the...
Well, at least it wasn't Galacticus from... Galactus from Silver Surfer.
Oh.
That was the worst. It was this giant cloud in space.
So Dumamu's like this head that, like, has... He has infinite powers, but he destroys worlds.
He has an itty-bitty living space.
Itty-bitty living space. So he's, like, destroying Earth. He starts to. And that's when Doctor Strange goes up there. He's like, hey, you can't do that. The guy kills him. And you're like, oh, Doctor Strange has died. And then he comes back over. And he's like, hey, can't do that. He's like, what? I killed you. And he kills him again. He's like, hey, you can't do that. Like, he's like, what are you doing? He's like, I created a time loop. And now you will kill me forever, and Earth will still live on, and you can't do anything about it.
Well, it's not that Earth will live on. It's just that
he
will never move on. Dormammu will never move on. And Earth is basically suspended.
Yeah.
And that moment is the only moment until he stops the spell. And Dormammu's like, well, this guy apparently can last forever. Because I don't know, they skip probably a billion years.
Yeah, it just shows him, like, killing him over and over and over and over. But, so I thought about that because Christ...
That's how Jesus conquered the grave. He annoyed Satan. He's like, hey.
You can't kill me. Yeah. But yeah, and that was like, okay, he dies and he comes back and he does it over and over and over. But he's basically taking the world's problem on his shoulder. Like, the world's going to die if he doesn't do anything. And so he comes in and he takes... Not the sin of the world, but he takes the problem of the world's problem, and he puts it on himself. And he's like, okay, I'm going to let them live, and I'm going to die in their place over and over and over and over until finally Dormammu makes a deal with him and he gets away. So,
yeah.
But it's that idea of, like, I'm going to take the place of this death, and I'm going to put it on myself. And so that's where I saw, like, the Christ figure come out. And you guys didn't tell me this was basically a live-action version of The Purpose-Driven Life. Because Tilda Swinton, she freaks me out, the Ancient One, she said, she delivered the first line of The Purpose-Driven Life. She's like, hey, here's the problem, you've always been focused on yourself. It's like, yeah, whatever. And she's like, but the thing you haven't learned, it's not about you. That's the opening line of Purpose-Driven Life. You don't remember that?
No.
That was like a key point.
What is this Purpose-Driven Life? Is that a movie?
Oh, Rick Warren, the Rick Warren book.
Oh. Yeah,
okay.
So,
I'm not going to know that either.
I'm reading this book James got, man, it's tough.
Oh,
yeah,
coming
right out
past the first page,
yeah,
people keep interrupting
started.
Me.
So, yeah, but it's that point where she's like, they're out on the balcony, and she's about to die, and he's like, she goes, it's not about you. Like, you've been focused on this whole thing about you. She says, it's not about you, and that's when he starts to realize, like, oh, my life can have a greater purpose by focus on others, and that's what allows him to eventually take the world's problem on himself and die in their place. And so I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
figured it out.
And the scene where he's like, you know, where he's doing all those surgeries, you clearly know he's thinking only about himself and his greatness because he is incredibly intelligent person.
Yeah.
I think he's probably smarter when it comes to medicine. Or I think he's just...
He's smarter than Dr. Samuel.
No, I think he's smarter than...
fictional character.
What's his name? Tony Stark.
Oh, maybe.
I think he has the capabilities of being smarter than Tony Stark. But he could have been a teacher. He could have created all these amazing things and created many pupils to do many things. But it really wouldn't have been him. And so that's when you realize, oh, this guy only cares about himself because he wouldn't be broke.
Yeah.
He'd probably be pretty rich still because he'd be probably one of the best professors on the planet because he knows so much.
Yeah.
And
for the glory.
So he's like, he wanted all of it for him. And that's
glory.
When
you're
like, man, this guy's terrible. What I want to talk about, though, is like the difference between this movie and Iron Man. Because it felt like someone mentioned, oh, this is just Iron Man, but with sorcerers.
Different powers, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I was like, is that what you guys felt? Do you guys feel like it was just Iron Man, different with sorcerers?
No.
Because I felt when Iron Man got kidnapped,
yeah,
and he overcame that, he overcame his kidnapping,
right?
That was a lot quicker than Doctor Strange coming to grips with the fact that he won't be able to do surgery again.
Yeah,
like I thought the event that created Doctor Strange versus the event that created Iron Man, and Doctor Strange was just much more powerful because in Iron Man he didn't lose anything. He just switched his business.
Died.
Yeah, he almost died. So did Doctor Strange.
You almost... Yeah, Doctor Strange did almost die. But yeah, but... I can see the parallels between, because they're both kind of jerks.
They both have goatees.
And they're full of themselves.
They both can fly.
They both have capes.
Yeah, they're both,
Tank missile! No.
They both have better, what are they called? Characters, sidekicks. The cape, way better. And then Jarvis, he's way better than Tony Stark.
So, do you guys remember the TV show, The Cape? It was on like 5 episodes and it was awful.
Yeah.
Okay, well, don't ever watch it. It's so stupid. It was like this guy was like learning to use a cape. And he was like, he would use it to like grab glasses and pick things up. And you're like, this is really dumb. So,
that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was not.
Well, what do you guys think of Doctor Strange compared to other Marvel films?
I liked it better than Thor 2 for sure. Thor 2 was weird.
I like Thor 2.
But,
I just like all Marvel
films. I do. Like, it's hard to rank them because they're all kind of similar. You know what you're... This one was like definitely different with the mirror world and the different stuff that, with mind-bending powers. But yeah, but I enjoyed it. I'd recommend it.
Yeah, I would too.
Now I remember what I want to talk. What do you think about the part where she addresses, she's like, oh, you probably think you're an insignificant speck on a planet. And she like addresses that.
He is an insignificant.
No, she doesn't. She like explains you can be greater. You're greater. She like shows him.
Oh, didn't he say we're an insignificant speck?
Yeah, I think that's what he said.
He says it because he's telling her at the very beginning all the science and material is all you have, and none of the stuff that she's talking about is real. And then she starts doing stuff, and he's like, "Wait, what?"
I thought that was an interesting part of worldview because there's a worldview that you are insignificant, and that's out there.
Yeah,
that's some people it's hard to grips with. They're like, well, I'm just insignificant.
You're just but a speck on a movie, planet.
She shows him like the multiverse, and she says, "You still aren't insignificant." Yeah. Like she shows him how small he really is, but she still says, even after that, you still have significance because Dormammu can take over all of the universe without your help. Without you, he will destroy everything because he has itty-bitty living space. Yeah. And he wants to move out.
We can't.
I thought that was the most powerful point because that's probably something that people deal with the most is significance of my life.
Yeah. And that, okay, so I want to kind of springboard off of that because this is kind of our topic of the day, like significance of life. Like what makes your life significant and why does it matter? And so for Dr. Strange, he's like, yeah, it's all matter. It doesn't matter because we're just specs, whatever. She's like, no, you do matter. There's all these multiverses out there.
But yeah, you're more than that because there's more to reality than you thought there was.
And so, James, you were talking about the end of True Memoirs of International Assassin. We don't necessarily we'll say the characters, but he's the main guy's faced with his mortality, and the guy's like, "We're gonna celebrate you."
Yeah.
What do you say? He's
like, "Yeah, but I'll be dead."
I'm gonna write songs about you.
Yeah, but I won't be there to listen. I'll be dead.
We're gonna paint murals. And we're gonna
it doesn't sing, matter. Sing I'll still be dead.
Children will praise your name.
Yeah, and still dead.
Yeah, and so
he doesn't want to accept it. He's like, it doesn't matter what you say. Yeah, you'll do for me whether I'll be eternal in song or writings or in memory. That's what he says. You'll be forever in memory.
You'll live forever.
But he's like, no, I won't. I'm actually gonna be dead.
So is that saying the opposite? Is the other one saying because? And Dr. Strange is like, oh, your life is significant, but it goes beyond what you can do with, like, if you make an impact with your life, it's going to continue on. And that's what I think he came to grips with that like, hey, my life can have significance, but it's going to be in my death because I'm going to die repeatedly in Dr. Strange. But that opening quote from Dr. Luis Banks from Arrival, there are days that define your story beyond your life. Like that day they arrived. And so, define your story beyond your life. And so, what is your legacy? And I think we were going to talk about that some last week and we didn't get around to it. But
yeah.
But your life has significance and it's going to carry on past this. Like, so once you die, what are people going to say? What are they going to remember? What songs are they going to sing about you? Yeah. Stories are going to tell? And I think for Kevin James' character, Sam, he was just like, well, I want that. I want the songs. I want people to celebrate me, but I want to be alive while they're doing it.
Yeah, he's like, he knows that I don't cut my life short. I know that I still have time. I know I shouldn't be dead yet.
Yeah.
Because this isn't normal. You're going to shoot me.
Like the great suffering artist. Like, man, I made this amazing painting. No one sees it yet. It's got to wait 150 years. What good is that to them?
It isn't. Nobody cares.
You cut off my ear for this?
Yeah.
But they'll make a difference later on, so...
But they're dead.
But they're dead, so it doesn't matter. It's like Ecclesiastes. Like, it doesn't matter because who you pass it on to. You have no control of them.
And then they also have no idea. Like, what if... So it's like, oh, I'm going to make a difference. But what if you do something, you're like, what if it's for vain? What if it's in vain? What if what I do...
Vanity, actually, vanity. All is vanity.
That's a different word. I'm not using vanity.
Yeah.
Well, vain comes...
Vain means it's for no purpose. Vanity is like what you look like.
Is vanity. It's pointless.
Yeah, all is...
Type in vanity.
I'm looking up vanity.
Vanity all Fair? Right. Are you saying Vanity Fair is pointless fair?
Yeah.
It is.
It's just about fashion and like it doesn't matter.
That's because it's about... You're
great.
So vain.
Now Chris is getting on Vanity Fair.
Yeah, what now... Now I'm looking at
You've
up
never heard that song that says you're so vain, you what probably think say? The song is about you.
Okay, the quality vanity, the quality of being worthless or futile.
Now that's
excessive
other
pride in or admiration for one's own appearance or achievements.
So it's like the opposite. It's one word.
No.
Having excessive pride or being worthless and futile.
Yeah, but the excessive pride is narcissism, self-love, self-admiration, self-absorption, self-regard, egotism.
Yeah, it's vain, and that's what I thought James was talking about. I was talking about vanity in a different way.
Vanity for...
As in, it was purposeless.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's futile. The vanity of human wishes.
No, but vanity is...
It was two different definitions, so the definition James was using was the good one. Everything's worthless.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem, though, is what happens when you're like, you know, this could make a difference, but what if it doesn't? What if my sacrifice was in vain?
Does vanity lead to vanity? Excessive pride or admiration in one's own appearance lead to the quality of being worthless or futile?
Probably not.
Vanity leads to vanity. I could write that. They Might Be Giant songs called Vanity Leads to Vanity. I could see that. All right, so...
how do we get...
No, but so we're talking about, like, yeah, what's the purpose of life? Like, is it important? Do we have significance? And, like, yeah, in Christ we do, because that's what the writer of Ecclesiastes, he's like, everything's pointless. Like, it doesn't matter. He's like, I can learn all this stuff. I can learn about... I could go study and do all this stuff. He's like, I did it all. He's like, then that didn't work out. So then I went and I married a bunch of people. I had all the sex I could have. I did through crazy parties. I did all this stuff. He's like, that was worthless too. I didn't find any fulfillment in it. It's like I didn't find any significance in my life.
I mean, he built a great empire. He's like, I built a wine.
Yeah.
Like, he built all this stuff. And yeah, because why? One word is what woke him up. Death.
Well,
he said, death, it doesn't matter because death is the end for me. And beyond that, I can't see it. It doesn't matter. Like, I can't tell if there's going to be a future dictator who's going to take all my greatness and... basically ruin it, or if it's going to be great, but I'm not here to enjoy it anyway. And
death
so,
is a great equalizer.
Yeah.
And the Bible talks a lot about, like, this, like, your life is but a vapor. It's like there in 1 minute and gone the next. It's a fleeting shadow. Like, it's grass in the field that's burned up the next day in the fire. It's like the Bible pulls no punches about our life.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it also says we have significance, and that in Ecclesiastes, author Solomon, King Solomon, was like, at the end, he's like, what do we need to do? We need to love God, follow him, because he gives us significance. Luke, you disagree?
Luke's trying to decide.
I was going to say something about the guy who wrote Ecclesiastes. You know what he probably didn't experience, though? Was riding a motorcycle on top of a monster truck that was going over a hill. He probably never experienced that. And I bet that was the key to happiness. I bet if he
would have binge-watched Netflix, he's like, why do I need anything else?
He would have been fine. If he would have experienced the world that we experience today, he would have been happy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just want to say something, like, stupid about motorcycles and
monster trucks.
I bet he would have realized that's what true happiness is.
So I'm going to bring it down a notch here.
Okay.
Because something happened yesterday. in my life to kind of, like, as I'm thinking about life and significance and the legacy you leave and all that stuff. What? Never mind. So one of the, like, the worship pastor at a church in our area, Crossroads, like, he, when I was growing up in middle school and high school, he was the music pastor, but he also, a worship pastor, but he also did the middle school and high school choir. And so I was in those, and, like, we did Christmas productions. We went on mission trips together. We did choir tours to Canada, and we did in Florida, and then we went to, you know, Mexico on mission trips. But, like, we would sing in songs in Spanish and all this stuff. And so, like, he just taught me a lot about, like, what it is to worship and to lead worship and how to really, like, just how to praise God even in crazy circumstances. And so, like, because there was stuff that would happen on the, especially the Mexico trip one year, like, just crazy circumstances. And he was just like, hey, pray about it. Because there was, like, a rain, it was raining in this park, and we were supposed to do this performance. He's like, hey, just go pray about it. And so we all prayed, and the rain stopped. We did our performance, took everything down, and started raining again. He's like, it's because you prayed. And we're like, wow. And he, so he just taught us things like that, like life lessons, as we went along. And so, like early yesterday morning, late Saturday night, him and his mom and one of his daughters, actually two of his daughters were in the car wreck, but, him and his middle daughter and mom were killed. And just yesterday was kind of a surreal day. Cause I'm like, he's one of those people that, like, you know, really influenced me in my middle school and high school years. And then once I got into college and stuff, like, we would keep up. Like, I mean, when I'd see him, like, we wouldn't call each other on the phone or do anything like that. And so I wasn't as close to him as I was in the past, but it was still, like, this person. And, like, so I went to their church yesterday because they did, like, a special service for him that morning, which is really cool. And it just shows the impact. And, like, there are tons of people there at both the 9 and 10:45 service. But just watching the impact that he's had, not just at his church, but in the community, because his daughters went to our local high, one of the high schools, Castle, and just the impact that she had too, because of her faith and because of what she lived. And then his mom just was a great lady as well. And so, like, seeing the impact that they had, because their life was not about them. Like, they knew, like, hey, I've got to give significance to who Jesus is. And because of that, like, their life had a greater impact, I feel, because they pushed people to worship and to be in his kingdom. And so it was just a cool, it was like a really cool service, just like celebrating his life. And it wasn't even the funeral or anything. It was just like, they just did worship and just talked about the significance of life and what it is to live that way. And so, so Reinhardt family, we're praying for you. I know this is a tough time for you guys as you're kind of figuring things out. So it's just a, it was a crazy one of the, like, just a freak accident. And, but, you know, just seeing the shortness of life, but also the significance that you can have. And, you know, our worldview, a biblical worldview is like, hey, we don't grieve as those that don't have hope, because we know that we'll be reunited. We still grieve because there are losses there and it's hard, but we know that, like, there's significance and there's a reunion.
It's not vain.
Yeah. There's a reunion that's going to happen one day with them. And so,
right. Death, where is your sting?
Yeah, where's your victory? And it's not there, because Jesus defeated you, death. Nice try. So, so I just want to say that. I know, transition.
Well, talk about mourning. I've got a transition.
Yeah.
Grieving. Let's talk about the election.
Yeah, I know. That's a great transition, because half of America's in mourning.
Yeah. No, only half of the eligible voters.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I know middle schoolers and high schoolers are like, yeah, we're in trouble.
Wow. See, all the middle schoolers I've talked to are, like, super happy.
Yeah, well, you're talking to the wrong ones.
Yeah,
I'm talking to the ones I've talked to.
We're also in Indiana, which we know where our state voted. So
yeah, we do.
But it's okay. So we're not necessarily going to tell our sides. We might a little bit, but
it might come out.
Probably come out when we're discussing.
Yeah, but we're not here to push one side or the other. It's just the election, like, it shows people's worldviews and even how they handle the loss or the victory. Because even on both sides, like, there's people that they voted for Hillary, and when they lost the election, it was like, they went crazy. Like the stuff people were putting on Facebook and all this stuff. And Luke, you brought up somebody that, like, was like, yeah, an illegal immigrant who was like, oh, now I'm worried about being deported. So,
well, not just that. She had a son who,
right.
She's like, I don't want to take him with me to wherever she's from. I didn't catch that. She's like, it's garbage. Terrible place to grow up.
Yeah.
Might even die. So, might even die there because...
So somebody like that, I could see, like, I could understand, like, a visible, like, oh, this is an awful thing.
It was the uncertainty that was, she was really worried, because she's like, well, before, there was always the possibility. There's always the possibility when you're an illegal immigrant to be deported. But we only have so many resources, and so she's like, are they going to increase the resources to where everyone gets deported? So, that's the uncertainty.
And but, so, yeah, and I mean... I think when people come into the country, they should follow the rules that we put in place to become citizens and to do those things. And so, but I understand her fear because, the president-elect, Donald Trump, said, hey, we're gonna secure our borders and make sure that we're going through the processes that we put in place. Like, there's a reason that we have a process.
Well, in the debate, he said he's going to deport all of them. Every
illegal.
Yeah.
Every illegal, which might be hard to do. But
it'd be extremely expensive,
or make them all citizens without going through the process. But
that'd be ruinous.
Either our process is bad if people are getting in anyway, or we need a giant wall.
Well, our process is more strict than it has been before.
Okay,
we're a nation of immigrants. I mean,
right?
It used to be. Did you get here on the boat? Yep. Well, welcome.
Yeah.
And then as time has gone on, we're like, man, let's make it more strict. And there's good reasons.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, eventually you run out of land.
So, we have a lot of land, James. I don't know if that's the reason.
No, we're just protectionists.
But the main thing I want to mention is it's going to be all right.
Yes.
Because, I mean, for me specifically, I'm a white male.
Oh, yeah.
Are you, though?
Yeah, I'm a white male. Things probably aren't going to change for me, and so that's why I didn't go crazy that someone was elected.
Oh, no.
Right.
What?
Nothing.
I'm looking at the Florida...
Bad link.
The Florida Foibles. No, this is the right link.
I thought you guys were like, Luke, stop talking about you being white and male.
No,
like,
first off, you're not white and you're not a male.
Are some people who need to be legitimate concerns.
Yes.
And that's for both parties.
Right.
If Hillary was elected, there would be people with legitimate concerns about her being elected. But I think a lot of people who freaked out don't have as big as a concern, and they're just upset and they don't want to play the game, which is...
You get
the Electoral College.
You get the mob mentality, too, though. Like, if some people are upset, because I bet a lot of those protesters, they voted for Trump. Well, somebody had to. Everybody's acting like, I don't know how this happened.
Voted for that guy?
People voted for him.
Like Brexit, I can't believe you.
It's like Brexit. It's like, what happened there?
Nobody's claiming him, but somebody voted for him.
Somebody did, which is hilarious.
I wanted to go out and protest, but not because of it. I just wanted to not... do anything. I was just like, great excuse to not do anything.
I can't go to class today. But yeah, but like people canceling tests, like colleges canceling tests, and like what?
Some colleges had puppies.
They like, brought puppies in?
Here's something to cuddle, make you feel better. Here's the coloring sheets. Just color.
I had a friend who works at a school in New York, and he's like...
He had, keyword.
He does. He does.
You had a friend.
Like, I had a friend, yeah.
After this election. Okay.
Now he's deported because he's Muslim. Well, he's not Muslim. He's actually born from Muslim people. But what is this saying? He's like, Wednesday was crazy for him because he's like, so many like 8-year-olds needed counseling for some reason. He's like, they had no idea what happened. He's like, it's just so weird because he's like, there's just so many young kids who... were affected, not because they have an idea what's going on, but because their parents were going crazy.
My parents are going
crazy!
That
to me is the biggest shame, is that kids are like, oh man, my parents are going crazy, so I must go crazy. And they don't have a real understanding. I don't think you understand politics until you're 99.
I don't know that I understand it. And it's like almost impossible to figure out what they really stand for, because... I feel like a lot of them say crazy stuff to get elected, and they're like, Anyway, we're not really going to build that wall. What have you said? You that wall,
there's going to be fence in most yeah. area.
It's gonna, yeah, and then, like, I mean, just the stuff they both say, and you're like, I don't know if that's true or not, because, like, a few years back, you said the exact opposite. Like, well, people can change. Like, okay, but...
24 hours after being elected.
Yeah. You know, so, I don't know. I just think it's one of those things that, like, pray for your country. Because a lot of people are coming out on Facebook and be like, look, what matters is that Jesus is still on the throne, and people are just down here.
I said that.
No, other I've read other people that said it. James did say that on Facebook.
I said there's it too.
There's just a perspective.
What are you talking about? Yeah, Luke and his Facebook.
Yeah, my Facebook.
LukeHelm.facebook/twitter.com/tumblr.com
Snapchat. Wikipedia.
So, but yeah, but it's one of those things. It's like, okay, and I know, like, in the moment, like right now, it seems crazy and stuff. And you know what? I like our system
because it seems crazy.
Because there's 4 years. You got 4 years, right? Like, okay, 4 years, and there's a lot of stuff
that's
you
the
can
worst
do
that can add
in that time to
two
get.
2 years if he's doing a really bad job, because then the house might flip, and then nothing's going to get done. That's what happened to Obama.
Yeah.
He kind of ham-fisted the ACA, and then after that, 2 years later, the house flipped, but not the Senate. And then after that, the Senate flipped 4 years later.
Yeah.
So... Trump has like 2 years. So if he does a really bad job, you might see the house flip. If he does a mediocre job, he might not make it. If he does a great job, which is what I want, because I want...
I want
every president to do a great job, because if they're doing a bad job, that means people are being affected. Okay?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're being affected.
So
not to be selfish, but you're being affected.
Yeah. Well, and but I think...
That's the hardest thing. That's coming from me. If you know me, saying, I want Trump to do a great job. It's not that I don't like Trump's politics. I just don't like his personality.
Right. He's...
I just... You guys can hate me all day.
But he's a
Somebody
celebrity.
Made the comment that we've elected an internet troll president. I was like, it's true, because he gets on like Twitter and just says... he just causes...
So, I'm like, oh, say, funny. I want my president to be good at what he does and competent. It's because I honestly believe he has the belief that he wants the best for the country.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, then I will revolt, I guess, because what else am I going to do?
Go march.
But I don't think that moment. I think everyone should give everyone a chance.
Yeah.
That's what frustrated me about some people. Were like, no, I'm not going to give it. He hasn't done anything.
I know.
He hasn't even been an official president yet.
So we'll see. There's a petition out there for the Electoral College to vote for Hillary and not him. Which I don't think they can they? Or
they technically they can if they want to
do whatever
to
they
jail.
Want.
They'll go to jail.
So they passed laws. Originally, the Electoral College could do whatever they want, and then people are like, "Well, let's put some strings on them." And now the Electoral College is gimped. It's useless.
But I like that better, because then they take what the states vote for.
We can talk about it later, not here.
Okay,
because that's too political.
Yeah, but no. Well, yeah, but. Because I remember in high school, they were like, yeah, you vote, and then, but then Electoral College picks, and it's like, wait, but they vote on based on what the state picks, right? And they're like, I don't have to. I was like, wait.
Originally, they
right, and
didn't
so,
at all.
So then I'm like, wait, then my vote doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter what I vote.
Well, it still doesn't matter, really.
Yeah, it does. Your vote.
It did this time. This is the one time I'm like, oh, voting actually mattered this time. But not very many people did it. Like, this was one of the lowest elections, right, in a while?
Since 2000.
Yeah, so... And
guess what happened in 2000? Democrats won the popular vote.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Democrats won the popular
vote. And lost the electoral. So, turns out when people don't vote, Democrats lose.
Is it, but yeah,
it's a funny coincidence that some people probably aren't laughing right now.
Sorry, yeah.
They're all like, you have to do is set aside...
We're trying to add laughter to your day and all this stuff.
Some people are.
Okay.
One day a year.
So, speaking of politics, wait, one day a year and we do what?
To vote.
Yeah. Okay, so this is our Florida foibles. It's real quick.
I didn't look at it really.
Because somebody's running, could be, the next governor in 2018
Florida.
For Pitbull for Florida. Oh, wait, I said, well, run that joke. Pitbull might be, I read the title wrong. Yeah, so Armando Christian Perez, a.k.a. Pitbull, because people were like, hey, he should be the next governor of Florida, because 2018. And they've got reasons for it. And
did you just say raisins?
Reasons.
Oh, I thought you said they got raisins for it.
They got raisins that are shaped like Pitbull's head because he's bald. The American voting public is apparently down with totally with wild celebrities. Yeah, so we'll see. I don't know if that's going to happen, but fine. If it does, you heard it here first.
If it's not fine, guys, vote.
Vote in the next election. So,
yep. 2030.
Okay, real quick, it's time for Goes to Culture. So this weekend, Doctor Strange, still in first place.
Yeah.
Right, 2 weekends in a row.
A little behind Iron Man.
Trolls, second place.
Yeah, you love that movie.
I did. Arrival was number 3. I didn't see Arrival, heard really good things about it. It got really good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. Two of my friends saw it. They liked it a lot. So, you guys need anyone who saw it?
John's not your friend?
Did John like it?
No.
Well, he didn't like anything. That's their brother.
Our brother, Jonathan Helm, hates movies.
But he goes and sees every single one of them. But he's like, why did I watch this? So, he didn't like your rival?
No.
Did he say why?
He said it was dumb.
He said it was too good.
It's got like a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes.
He's a contrarian.
I know. He's like, I won't like it.
I got to be that 4%.
Patrols and Doctor Strange. This is both of the week 2, right? For both of those?
Yes.
So, they're really good. So, Disney, they're a $1 trillion company.
$2 trillion.
They're on their way to, like, $17 trillion.
They're on the way to
$17 trillion. They're going to pay off our debt.
Yeah. So, Disney's biggest domestic box office year. Well, one, because they've had Star Wars. They have Marvel now. And then they made really good, like, the Jungle Book remake did really good for them.
Disney's on fire.
Yeah, well, because they're buying all the good properties.
Good properties? Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah, but there's always those flops, you know.
Did we talk about that?
Nope.
John Carter.
That was a good movie.
If they made, like, 10 of those in a row, their studios might have been suffering after that.
But, John Carter?
Yeah, if they made 10 John Carters, man. But Disney's still huge.
And Alice in Wonderland, they need to stop making those. The second one didn't do so great.
Yeah.
But Disney also has their Disneyland and Disney World. They make so much money elsewhere.
Oh, yeah.
That movies could just be
Unfortunately, they got rid of Disney Infinity. So I was like,
Disney Infinity.
That's a video game.
Yeah, probably weren't making like $1 trillion off.
Yeah, so they're like, we're done with it.
Company.
But the good thing about it is I can get all the pieces for really cheap now. The little toys. It's those Toys of Life games. You buy the pieces and put them on the little disc thing and they come on your screen.
So do you think those will have like be really valuable in the future?
Probably not.
Like Amiibos on right now?
Yeah, I don't know. Amiibos. So,
I totally forgot that was a thing.
Yeah, but,
We forgot to talk about the NES Classic.
Oh, yeah.
NES Classic came out and it's impossible to find anywhere.
I know. My wife went to go get it, and at Toys R Us at 9:20, they opened at 9, and it was already sold out. And every place I've called,
online, it's basically sold out. Why does Nintendo do that? They know... Like, a lot of the things they release are going to be sold out immediately. Like, Smash Brothers
not
controller.
Not for very long.
What? The Smash Brothers controller port thing.
Oh, yeah.
That you could use game could be sold out, like, instantly. Took them 4 months to get one.
Yeah.
Amiibos.
But I finally got one, so.
Sold out.
Amiibos.
And they're like, you know, we're not going to produce more. That's the worst thing about the Amiibos. They're like, yeah, once they're sold, we go on to the next character.
Like, what?
I feel like Nintendo underproduces just so they can
say... On purpose. Valuable brand.
I just want to get that thing because it has two games I really want to play. Mega Man 2 and Mega Man 3.
But not Mega Man 1.
That's not even...
Because it wasn't even on Super Nintendo.
No, it's the NES Classic.
Yeah, that's what I said.
No, you said the Super Nintendo.
No, I don't think I did.
What?
You can't prove that.
Let's... Hey, Chris, roll the tape.
Well, all right. Thank you for tuning in to Podcast Viewfinder, episode 79. I'm one of your hosts, Chris Shadowin.
And I'm James.
And I'm Luke.
I can't forget your name. So, hopefully we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Leave us a review. And we'll see you next week. Magic. These are days...
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Podcast Viewfinder. Just because we talk about a game, movie, book, show, or celebrity does not mean we endorse them or the product. So we want you to use discernment about what you take in. So look it up before you consume, and see you next time.